Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Rising from the Rails, Pullman Porters, and the Making of the Black Middle Class by Larry Tye is a nonfiction history book that examines the lives and labor of African American Pullman Porters on luxury sleeping cars in the late 19th and 20th centuries. The book explains how a job created within a discriminatory system could still become a pathway to relative stability, professional respect, an economic advancement for black men at a time when few opportunities existed. It also places the porters at the center of larger historical changes, including the growth of black institutions, the expansion of middle-class aspirations, and the rise of organized labor and civil rights activism. Tye combines social history, labor history, and African-American history to show how porters lived between contradiction and progress. They served white passengers under harsh conditions while building family security, political awareness, and community influence. The book is both a historical account and an argument about how work, dignity, and collective action shaped modern Black America. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Pullman turned Black service labor into a national system. An essential idea in the book is that George Pullman deliberately built his sleeping car service around Black male labor. Tye shows that the company recruited African American men, many of them formerly enslaved, because Pullman believed they had already been trained for deferential service and would satisfy white passengers who expected racial hierarchy to remain intact. This was not a neutral hiring practice. It embedded the customs of slavery into a modern transportation business and made black workers the public face of luxury rail travel while denying them real authority. The porters carried baggage, cleaned berths, shined shoes, and attended to passengers around the clock. But they worked under white supervision and were treated as replaceable service workers. Tye uses this arrangement to reveal the economic logic of racism. Pullman profited from black labor while using racial stereotypes to market comfort and prestige to white customers. The porters therefore become a lens for understanding how the railroad industry translated racial domination into a profitable business model. Secondly, the porter job is exploitation and economic opening at the same time. Tye is careful to show the contradiction at the heart of porter work. The job was degrading, underpaid, and physically exhausting, with long hours, irregular sleep, constant tips dependence, and expenses that often reduced already low wages. Yet compared with many other jobs available to black men after Reconstruction, porter work also offered unusual mobility. It provided steady employment, exposure to cities across the country, and a chance to interact with affluent passengers and elite institutions. This combination made the job highly desired despite its humiliations. The book explains that the porters used their earnings strategically, saving money, supporting wives and children, and investing in education and home ownership when possible. In that sense, the occupation did more than pay wages. It created a narrow but meaningful route into respectability and social advancement. Tye does not romanticize the work. Instead, he argues that economic opportunity can emerge inside oppressive structures, but only at serious human cost. That tension is one of the book's most important analytical points. Thirdly, Pullman Porters as builders of the black middle class. One of the book's defining claims is that Pullman Porters helped make the black middle class possible. Tye connects their income and mobility to broader changes in black family life, education, and community organization. Because porter work was comparatively steady, many men could support households, send children to school, and participate in civic and religious institutions more consistently than workers trapped in agricultural labor or domestic service. Their travel also widened horizons. Porters saw how wealthier Americans lived, and that exposure sharpened their understanding of inequality and aspiration. Tye emphasizes that this did not create middle-class life automatically. It required disciplined saving, sacrifice, and often the support of wives and extended kin. But the porter occupation became a foundation for professional ambition in black communities, helping nurture future teachers, lawyers, journalists, and activists. The book treats the middle class not as a simple income category, but as a social project built through labor, education, and institution building. In that sense, the porters were not only workers on trains, but also agents in the remaking of black social life. Fourthly, the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters and the Politics of Labor Rights. Tye gives major attention to the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, founded in 1925 under A. Philip Randolph. The union mattered because it was the first major black labor union to win a collective bargaining agreement with a large corporation, and because it transformed workplace grievances into organized political action. The porters had long endured arbitrary discipline, low pay, exhausting schedules, and little job security. Unionization gave them a way to challenge the company not just as isolated employees, but as a coordinated force. The book shows that this struggle took years and faced intense resistance from Pullman, which underscores how difficult labor rights were for black workers in segregated America. Taya also links the union to a wider political shift labor organizing helped develop leadership networks, public protest strategies, and alliances that later fed into civil rights campaigns. The Porter's victory therefore mattered beyond the railroad. It demonstrated that Black workers could build durable institutions, negotiate with major corporations, and convert workplace organization into political influence. This makes the Union Chapter 1 of the book's clearest bridges between labor history and civil rights history. Lastly, travel, visibility, and the growth of Black modern consciousness, beyond labor and economics. The book shows how Porter work shaped Black identity and public consciousness. Porters moved across regions, encountered different communities, and carried information, newspapers, and ideas between cities and rural areas. That mobility helped connect Black Americans in ways that isolated local conditions often could not. Taya suggests that the Porters became informal conduits of knowledge and aspiration, helping circulate news about opportunity, politics, and resistance. Their polished appearance and disciplined behavior also challenged racist assumptions about Black inferiority, even though the job itself was built on subordination. The Porters had to perform respectability for white passengers, but many also used that same visibility to build authority in Black communities. The result was a complicated form of public presence. They were simultaneously controlled and influential. Taya uses this paradox to explain why the Porters occupy such an important place in American history. They were not just workers in a transportation system. They were intermediaries in a changing social order, helping connect labor, migration, institution building, and racial consciousness into a broader modern Black experience. In conclusion, this book should be read by anyone interested in African American history, labor history, transportation history, or the making of the civil rights era. It is especially valuable for readers who want to understand how Black middle-class life developed through work, mobility, and collective struggle rather than through a simple story of individual achievement. Taya makes a strong case that the Pullman Porters were far more than service workers on glamorous trains. They were a structurally important group whose labor supported family, advancement, political organization, and national Black institution building. What makes the book stand out is its ability to hold two truths together at once. It does not ignore exploitation, racism, or humiliating conditions, but it also shows how men working under those conditions built durable economic and social gains. Compared with broader histories of segregation or the civil rights movement, this book is more focused and concrete. It uses one occupation to illuminate the larger formation of Black modernity in America, which gives the story both specificity and wide historical reach. The result is a readable, deeply informative account that connects daily labor to long-term social change. If you would like to support Larry Tai, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.